In the 14th century, the world saw an epidemic called the Black Death. It shook civilization to its very foundation. Usually we only hear and read about its effects in Europe, which is typical because, you know, although as interconnected as the world was back then, Europe wasn't the only place infected. The Arabic word for plague is Taun. Usually all or most epidemics were considered to be plagues, but there is a separate word for epidemic, which is Wabah. The intellectuals were aware of the distinction, but usually most people didn't know the difference between them. There had been various plagues in the Middle East before as well, obviously. The first plague after the rise of Islam broke out in Syria, or at least the Muslims first met it in Syria. It is known as the Plague of Amvas. It might have just been a recurrence of the Plague of Justinian though. In 638 and 639, it killed around 25,000 Muslim soldiers. Caliph Umar, the second caliph of Islam, set some precedent during it, which are still used today. At the time of the plague, Umar ordered his general, Abu Ubaidah, to come to Medina immediately. However, he chose not to abandon his men and decided to stay. So Umar called a council of many senior leading companions of the Prophet. They met in the desert. They were divided, but at the end, Umar ordered a retreat into an area safe from the plague. Abu Ubaidah protested by saying that the Prophet forbade from entering or leaving a plague-infested area. Umar's order was final. He returned to Medina and the army retreated. However, as mentioned before, 25,000 people died, including Abu Ubaidah and two of his successors. Various prominent companions of the Prophet passed away as well. Those who died were considered martyrs. Fast forward some 700 years and a plague finds its way to the Black Sea. It probably originated in Central Asia and traveled via the trade routes. Now, it's generally believed that the trade route it traveled by was not the one that went through Persia, but rather the northern one on the other side of the Caspian Sea. From the Black Sea port, it traveled all over Europe and to the places Europe traded with. All Mediterranean ports were hit soon after. Before we talk about the plague, let's discuss the attitude of Muslims towards plagues in general. There was no doubt that the plague was sent by God and God only. However, there were different opinions on how God actually did that. The most widely held belief was that God corrupted air, which caused sickness to spread as it blew away from the area. Hence, avoidance was pretty much impossible. This theory was taken from the works of Hippocrates and Galen and adopted because, well, it sounded right. Thanos ibn Khaldun actually went further in order to explain it. He said that overpopulation in cities led to a natural imbalance, which led to famine and plague. In reality, while overpopulation can greatly help the plague spread, it doesn't cause it. People even looked to the stars to find a cause, but usually the more intellectual people did not indulge in astrology. Islam even forbids astrology, but you know, since when has that stopped people? Quite a few of the educated people believed in the disease being contagious, while some denied it on religious grounds. Ibn al-Khatib and others like him wrote about how the disease spreads through contact. There was even a fatwa issued against this theory. Ibn al-Khatib even did research and found that the date of spread in various cities coincided with the arrival of merchant goods from the Black Sea. He was actually able to correctly determine a lot of things about the Black Death. The period between 1258 CE, when Baghdad was sacked, and 1405 CE, when Timur the Lame died, is something of a huge transformation period for the Islamic world. So let's first set the world that the plague was coming into. The older Arab dynasties were pretty much put to an end by the Mongols. The Islamic world had shifted from an Arab one to a Turkic one. Most of the more prosperous cities in the Islamic world had collapsed under the Mongols, and there was a huge amount of migration. The Mongols broke apart into smaller states, which broke apart into even smaller states. In Spain, the Reconquista was in full force, and Muslims existed in Spain in a small pocket in Granada, which was awkwardly trying to survive. By the mid-14th century, when the plague hit, there was only one somewhat successful empire in the Middle East, the Mamluks of Egypt. As a result, the best documented effects of the Black Death are in Mamluk Egypt and Syria. The prosperous and long reign of Mamluk Sultan al-Nasir had just ended in 1341 CE, which had brought stability to Egypt. The more prosperous the place, the worse it's usually hit. Egypt's prosperity is made clear by the fact that Cairo had somewhere between 3 and 4 million people living in it when the Black Death hit Egypt in 1348 CE. The first city hit was obviously the trade center of Alexandria. There was a lot of trade being done between the Mongols who controlled Crimea and the Mamluks, and among the traded commodities were slaves. Anywhere from 1/4 to 1/3 of the population perished. Cairo, the metropolitan city, became almost deserted during the pandemic because people left and died in huge numbers. It's said that mosques couldn't even get 3 rows of people at prayer time. Due to the structure of Mamluk society, many of the soldiers and bureaucrats lived in close quarters and even in barracks. They refused to leave. This devastated the established structure, which had already been damaged by infighting. Within the next 170 years, Egypt would be hit by no less than 50 outbreaks, each as deadly as the first one, because society could not recover. For several centuries, the population of Egypt and Syria would not reach its pre-Black Death numbers. From Egypt, the disease even spread to Mecca and killed many students, scholars, and pilgrims there. It was considered a miracle that the disease did not reach Medina, though. But it can be explained by the fact that most pilgrims who carried the disease passed away before they went to Medina, and since there was no trade between Medina and Mecca, traffic was pretty much non-existent. For the duration of the first Black Death outbreak in Egypt, some 10 months, there weren't any food shortages, because thanks to the period of stability before it, food reserves were full. However, after the epidemic, and certainly because of it, agriculture declined, and so food shortages started to occur. Add that to the continuous return of the plague, and we can see why Syria and Egypt struggled to return. Manufactured goods like bread and sugar saw an increase in price because the labor required to produce them got more expensive. It wasn't helped by the fact that many used sugar to create supposed remedies for the plague. Even the Venetians who traded out of Alexandria noted it. Due to the high volume of deaths, the costs of funeral went up significantly to the point where people threw the dead into rivers or abandoned them on the streets. Not the most hygienic thing to do, I would say. The government tried to intervene and ordered the abolition of fees for funeral-related services. Eventually, trenches were dug up each day and filled with bodies and buried in the night. Mamluk Egypt did see a rise in construction, though. As the plague was sent by God, many thought that they could escape it by simply pleasing God by building mosques and madrasas. It being the center of the spice trade also meant that the merchants weren't hit that bad. However, the mortality rate in the merchants must have been quite high due to their constant travel to plague-ridden lands. Unless they did what Jeff Bezos did and employ disposable heroes to risk their lives for a small amount of money. Merchants and artisans who built those new buildings were the only professionals to prosper during the pandemic. Although it's commonly believed among art historians that due to the death of so many skilled artists, the quality of Islamic art dropped dramatically. But I'm not sure if and to what extent this is true. Something that I find very interesting is that the relationship between gold dinars and silver dirhams changed rather significantly. It went from a ratio of 20 dirhams to 1 dinar to only 15 dirhams to 1 dinar. Either the value of gold went down or the value of silver went up, or both. Gold went down for obvious reasons. With the price of basic necessities going up, people had to break out their family gold reserves. But silver also went up, and the reason silver went up is because people were using it in magical talismans and amulets. This practice was not all that common in Islam. In fact, it was outright forbidden, but again, since when has that stopped people? The Nasrid Emirate of Granada was hit in the middle of a war with Castile, and initially, a lot of Muslims thought that God was not on their side in the war. I guess Alfonso IX dying from the same disease must have put their minds at ease. North Africa had been the home of much of the intellectuals who had left Spain after the fall of the Almohad, including the family of Ibn Khaldun. When Black Death hit there, both of Ibn Khaldun's parents as well as countless scholars perished. Iran was hit as well, but not so badly at first. The plague hit Azerbaijan first, and then reached south, so rather than coming from the east through Khorasan, it actually arrived there from the north of the Caucasus. As the region was recovering from the fall of the Ilkhanate, it was broken into smaller states. There was a lot of commercial instability and economic decline, so trade was not that active. Fewer people went into and out of cities, so the risk of catching the plague was lower. However, over the following years, the plague returned multiple times and claimed the souls it had missed the first time. Also, an interesting fact is that Malik Ashraf, a local ruler of the Chobani dynasty, was vying for more power and was on a campaign to capture Baghdad at the time the plague hit his army. His army spread the plague to Baghdad and rest of Iraq. So while trade was not that big of a culprit, campaigns were. This was definitely the case in Maghrib, where Marinid army helped spread the disease to the cities they attacked. Despite the fact that many think India and China were ravaged before Middle Eastern Europe, it's not true, especially in the case of India. In fact, we don't find any evidence of such a huge, devastating epidemic taking place in India. At the time, most of India was under the rule of Muhammad ibn Tughluq, and he was something of a disaster himself, so it didn't look that bad. India was pretty much left untouched by the Mongols and the Black Death. It is nearly impossible to determine the number of people who actually died in the epidemic. The Islamic world was already recovering from the Mongol invasions, so usually government systems were broken and census was not taken regularly. One contemporary historian writes that at the peak, around 27,000 people died each day in Cairo, and somewhere between 10,000 and 15,000 died in Damascus every single day. However, these numbers are very unreliable and they vary greatly from source to source. The Black Death would come back again and again for the next centuries, but its initial outbreak killed one-third to half of the population in some cities. By the time the dust settled, the world looked completely different. Now, I usually don't believe in dark ages, but if you want to call an equivalent of dark age in the Islamic world, I think it would be the time between 1258 and 1405. No, what we're going through right now is not a dark age. It's more of a majority of the world was made dark to light up a dozen countries age. Just as the Black Death slowed down, another scourge sent by God destroyed cities and killed millions. The jerkiest jerk who ever jerked, Timur the Jerk. See you next time. Thank you for watching the video. Don't forget to like, subscribe and stuff. Also, I have a special announcement. I have just started uploading videos to my Urdu channel. So if you're from one of the countries where Urdu is spoken, or Greater Pakistan as I like to call it, please check that out. Thank you.